I am Ted Smoker. My family was all here. We're a little bit cranky today. We played ice hockey all day yesterday, so I might be a little stiff up here, so you'll have to forgive me and forgive us. We bring greetings from York's Corners Mennonite Church. My family lives in Genesee, Pennsylvania, which is just across the border in Pennsylvania, in the mountains of Potter County. My family, my parents make landscaping mulch, and so a lot of the mulch that you have around here, I wouldn't be surprised if we ground that mulch for you with the beautiful trees from Potter County. I also bring greetings from the congregation in, I got some pictures for you to look at while I talk. In case you get bored, bored of my talking, you can look at the pictures. I bring greetings from the Kekchi Mennonite Church in Chiquiche, Guatemala. We found ourselves there in September last year. It was only a few months after we accepted a call from God to become long-term missionaries. It was a clear and obvious call that was reconfirmed in many different ways. We landed in Guatemala City, and we drove 5 hours from there to Coban, where we'll be. And then we drove another 2 hours from pavement to dirt roads to a single lane dirt roads to basically stones that rarely get driven on. It was more of a footpath, really, until we were actually on another footpath itself. We had to walk another 10 minutes to get to the church where the Kekchi people worship. Kekchi people are indigenous. They're Indians of Mayan descent, and that's to be contrasted with Ladino culture. Ladinos are European Spanish people. It's a very different culture. Eastern Mennonite Missions is the group, the organization we're going with, and they've been in that area since the 1950s. The Kekchi people are actually missional-minded themselves, so the EMM will plant a church in one place, and the Kekchi people themselves will take it to another village and plant another church, and they'll spread it out, so that after, in the last 40 years, the Kekchi Mennonite Church has grown to 12,000 people. So it's a very strong church, a lot of faith there, good, hardworking people. It's a natural custom there to give a greeting and to give to speak to and to maybe sing a song, and so that's what I did. I played a song for them, and Wilmer's there watching. He was the keyboard player, and that was an immediate connection for him and me, because he watched my fingers and then he played the song afterwards, and so we were connected even before we shared any words at all. They worship loudly and enthusiastically. I was pleased to see all the people here worshiping here in this church. There's a lot of percussion and a lot of I think they think that the louder they worship, the more God hears it or something. I don't know, but it was very loud. We could hear it as we were approaching the church, rolling through the mountains. The views were breathtaking as we were on our way to that church. And this is something anybody that's been in Guatemala will know, that the mountains are just beautiful. And where we are, the weather is cool. It's between 65 and 75 Fahrenheit all year round, and there's a lot of rain there. Every day that we were there, the sun would come up in the morning and warm everything up, and then it'd be a nice cool rain in the afternoon, and then the sun would come up again and dry everything up. So it's kind of like the perfect spring day, if you can imagine the perfect spring day here. If you've ever had such a thing here in Buffalo, I don't know. It's hard to imagine. But that's the way it is every day there. It's called Alta Verapaz. And for those of you who know some Spanish, those are highlands of true peace, Alta Verapaz. It's highlands. It's at 6,000 feet. And in this land is where coffee grows very well. It's some of the best coffee in the world. Next picture is of Felipe. He's a Quechua landowner. It's only been in the last couple of decades that the Quechua people have owned the land following a devastating civil war that's been raging in Guatemala for most of the second half of the 20th century. So the Quechua people are actually landowners now. So they have the land, they have all this this great coffee that grows here, lots of fruits and vegetables that grow here. What they don't have is a way to capitalize on those resources. This land, it reminds me of Isaiah, of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is an idealistic book full of beautiful natural descriptions. When Julie and I were discerning God's call for us and our family, Isaiah 43 was prayed over us, and it was one of the sources of confirmation for us that we were on the right track. As we were there, the words of Isaiah kind of echoed in our heads as we were touring this area of Guatemala. Isaiah 43, and this is a good picture for this. If you see those three plants, this is an old coffee processing plant, a patio where they laid out the coffee beans. It hasn't been in use for 5 years or so, and yet here springing up from the concrete, from the cracks in the concrete, are coffee trees growing right there in out of the concrete. It's a verdant, fertile land. I mean, with all that rain and all that weather, it's just bursting with life. Isaiah 43:18. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. The people whom I form for myself will declare my praise. I've been pondering, Jesus came, he was born in a stable, and he came to earth. And what's the real reason we've been celebrating his birth here recently? It's not that he did miracles to show how great God is, and he didn't come to give us new rules or anything like that. When you look at the miracles that he performed, he always partnered with other people, whether it was asking the servants to fill the jugs with water, and then turned it into wine, or the people that dropped the man down through the roof. He was partnering with other people. He was making disciples. He was partnering with the needy, and he was making people richer in faith, as well as healing them of their ailments. Jesus came to proclaim that the kingdom is near. In Luke 4, after the temptation in the wilderness, he quotes Isaiah 61 in the synagogue. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and freedom to prisoners." Unfortunately, Guatemala is at the top consistently of the lists of the most impoverished nations in the world. According to the World Food Program, almost half of the children are chronically malnourished, and that makes Guatemala the fourth in the world. And this is the entire nation. The indigenous people are in much worse shape. It's about 70% malnourished children, not 50%. It is second in deaths by malnutrition, and not only deaths, but there's so many unseen problems with malnourishment, you know, heart problems and cognitive skill problems and those kind of things. The thing is, I didn't notice that when I was there. I didn't notice that the people were poor. Of course they have houses that are built out of scavenged materials and those kind of things, but we saw people that were very happy. You know, they were living very close with their family. This extended family was all living together in this little village place. And with fruits and vegetables, and this guy has an avocado tree right outside his window, you know. It's hard for me to say that that's poor. That seems to me to be very rich in its own way. It was only afterwards, in the last few months that I've been reading up on it, to see just how devastating the crisis is in that area. There's a severe inequality between the indigenous and the Latino culture. The Latino culture idolizes the wealth of the United States. It's eager to have the fashions that we have and all the comforts. And they think that if it means, you know, exploiting the indigenous Kekchi, or if it it means, you know, whatever kind of corrupt business practices, well, they go ahead and do it. You know, what they want is that American dream, you know, is what they're trying to go after. It's a deep-seated perspective that the Kekchi are a lower class. They're the bottom, you know, bottom of the ladder. According to one Ladino, we may be poor, but at least we're not indigenous. So they all know it. They all know and feel this inequality, this discrimination. To me, it seems like if a business does well, if a well-developed business comes in, like say Toyota builds a manufacturing plant here or something like that, all kinds of other things will spring up. Other entrepreneurs will come and provide bolts or provide the lights or all the transportation and infrastructure that would go with that if there was a prosperous manufacturing facility here. But for some reason, that's not happening here in Guatemala. They're only 900 miles from the U.S. border, and these people have some of the best coffee in the world. We drink a lot of coffee in the United States. And yet they're struggling to survive on less than $1.50 a day because of discrimination and corruption and lack of opportunities. We are in a unique moment in history here in the United States. The trend in our society is shifting from fair trade to direct trade. And direct trade is that consumers are much more educated about what they buy. And we also have the technology to make that connection between U.S. consumers and the farmers that produce what we buy here. And Julie and I, we have a Facebook page, we have a website and email. We plan to keep you connected, you and all of the people that support us. And we hope that you spread the word to your friends, even your secular friends, because this is a chance to show real discipleship in action. We will need funding. We are a family of six. We'll go in August of this year for training and language learning, and we'll need international insurance and housing and travel expenses. We're required to have $7,000 a month pledged for the next 3 years. We're committed for 3 years, but we plan to be there for between 5 to 10 years to build some kind of business plan and work with these people to help them get past these hurdles that they face. We'll really need ongoing partners that will continually support us in funds and prayer, and we'll need lots and lots of prayer as we are fighting powers that are beyond whatever I can do in my own strength. Our mission is to be a voice of encouragement to these families and farmers, persuading these people that their value is in God, not in becoming more American. We will connect them together with each other so that they can provide information and mutual encouragement to each other. Indeed, keeping the farmers isolated in separate villages without any kind of transportation, that's been in the favor of those that have taken advantage of these people. We are planning to connect U.S. investors and connect the Kekchi people with their market so that they can have some stability and access to loans, some investment money, so that they can be more effective in the products that are most economically advantageous. Right now, they are planting a lot of corn so that they can just survive, whereas if they could get a fair price for the coffee and the other good products that they have, then they could get past this, you know. Furthermore, it's beyond these are things that I can work on myself, but we are believing that God will break through in a powerful way, and it's something only God can do to overcome the deep-seated discrimination and the chains of bondage that have held this culture and people in bondage. At this church in Chi-Ki-Chi, we felt an immediate connection with the Christian brothers and sisters, and that's our passion. We will connect these hardworking, godly people with caring people from the United States, people that follow Christ's example and take it seriously to bring good news to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and freedom to the prisoners. We ask you to fill out the forms that are in your bulletins, pray about how you can support us, and if you have friends, please share our vision and mission with them. And if you're on Facebook, share us. You can find Serving with Among the Kekchi on Facebook. There's a lot of garbage on Facebook, if you've noticed that. But I'm hoping that you'll help us raise some of the something worthwhile to the top of the what's going on there. We are so thankful that we can be here and share this with you, and so thankful we can meet new people and worship with people all over New York State and all over everywhere. We believe this is something that God is doing. He's moving in a big way in Latin America, and we invite you to be a part of it. Thank you.
Thanks, Ted. I see as I was walking up here, I lost my page, so hang, bear with me. I believe I got the, there it is, 577 in the Red Mennonite hymnal, hymn number 577. Let's stand together and sing When We Walk with the Lord. I like this, especially, I think applies the last verse. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. not a grief nor a loss, not nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy with Jesus but to trust and obey.
When I was in college, I had a roommate who had just come back from spending 3 years with the Quechua people in Guatemala. He worked in agriculture there, also with Eastern Mennonite missions. And so as I kind of understand, the Quechua church is planted there in Guatemala, but EMM's role, Eastern Mennonite Missions' role, has been to come alongside the Quechua people and help to empower them and to encourage them in their walk with Christ. And so that's what Ted and Julie are looking to do, to walk alongside them, helping them to develop economically. And Ted and Julie and their family will be blessed, I'm quite certain, by the strength of that church there in that nation. And so as they're obeying God's call in their life, we have the opportunity to support them in that, whether it's in prayer, in words of encouragement, financially, if able to do that as well. They will need that. So take time. They have a table set out front. So take time to look at some of the things that they have there and talk to Ted and Julie and hear more. They're, I'm quite certain, still learning what they're going to be doing as they're there. And so it's kind of a journey for them. We have the opportunity to join them. Let's just pray for them right now, and then I have just a short scripture yet to share with you. Lord, we thank You for Your call in Ted and Julie's life. Lord, we thank You that they are listening, their hearts are open, and they're obeying. Lord, this is a journey, and Father, I ask that You would continue to reveal the things that You have for them to do, the ways that they can be of assistance to the Quechua people. Lord, we thank You for what You are doing among the Quechua. We thank You for the way that the church has grown there. And Father, we know that as people worship You, Lord, they receive Your blessing. And so we ask that You would bless these people in Guatemala. Father, may we learn more of Your glory there among them as the years go by. Father, I thank You for Your blessing in our lives. I'd like to share with you as you go today, Psalm 128. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your life will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life, and may you see prosperity, the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Go this week and serve the Lord. You're dismissed.